Well, good morning, everybody. Great to be here with you this morning again. My name's Mike, pastor here at Salt Church. It's great that you're here. We're at the end of our series, our Meet Jesus series in John's Gospel. And if you're following along in our Uncover books on page 108, you'll find our reading this morning. It starts at verse 19. This is the end of our 6 weeks on mission together. It's been wonderful to have so many people come to visit us at church, and great to see you guys in your coloured shirts as well. I want you to know that even though this is the official end of our mission doesn't end. We're Christians. We've got good news to share with the world. So please keep inviting your friends. Please keep inviting them to church. And please keep sharing with them the joy of meeting Jesus. But if you've got your Bible there, it'd be good to open it again to John chapter 20. And we're picking up from verse 19. Before we do that, I'm going to pray. Let's talk to God together. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you that we can meet together this morning as your people. And we want to thank you that you are present with us, that you're amongst us, that we've already seen signs of your good work in bringing new life to us and amongst us. And we pray now that you'd continue to do that, that you would speak deeply into our hearts, places of fear and doubt and skepticism, that we might be open to the Lord Jesus, that we might believe in him and put our trust in him. And we ask this morning that you'd help me to speak in a way that's faithful and clear, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When it comes to matters of faith, you'd have to say that Australians are largely sceptical. Like the conversation I once had with a plumber who was doing some work at my place. I told him I was a Presbyterian minister and I invited him to come along to church. He said the first time he went to church, they gave him a woman to look after. The second time he went along to church, they tried to drown his kids. And so the next time he plans to go to church, they'll have to take him there in a box. When it comes to matters of faith, Australians value truth and transparency, but with only 9% of Australians regularly going to church, 91% of our country, our Australians, can't see it. They don't see the truth of Christianity. They can't see the transparency of our faith. Most Australians are cynical and sceptical, and Queenslanders are the most distrusting of the lot. 55% of Queenslanders don't trust our national leaders, compared with the national average of 49%. So if we're going to believe in something, especially here on the sceptical and cynical Gold Coast, it needs to be truthful and it needs to be transparent. Yet all Australians believe in something, even those who say they don't believe in anything. 22% of Australians believe that Jesus is the most important figure in human history. In all of history, Jesus is the standout. 32% of Australians believe Jesus is the Son of God. 6% of Australians believe Jesus never existed, which is 6% more than any secular historian. We all believe in something, and some of us will believe in anything. 22% of Australians believe in witches. 34% of Australians believe in UFOs. 61% of Australians believe in astrology. 52% of Australians believe in psychic powers. Even those who say they believe in nothing believe in something. Just don't tell them that they believe in anything because they won't believe you. 30% of Australians believe there is no God. They believe there is no God. 6% of Australians aren't sure what they believe, but they're confident in their uncertainty. If Australians are going to believe in something, and all of us believe in something, then what we believe in needs to be truthful and it needs to be transparent. John has attempted to be transparent with us from the opening verses of his gospel. John's been telling us the truth about Jesus. He's been very transparent about it. John writes because he wants you to believe. He wants us to believe so that we can have eternal life. Transparent and truthful, John couldn't have been any more see-through. He puts it all up front and center for us in chapter 1, verse 12. Let me remind you of what it says. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. See it there, God receives those who believe in Jesus. God makes us his children. God gives us eternal life. When we believe the truth about Jesus, God gives us eternal life. And like I said, we're at the end of our series in John's Gospel, a series called Meet Jesus. And so far, throughout John's Gospel, we've met Jesus with the world, we've met Jesus with the religious, we've met Jesus with the outsider, We've met Jesus with the grieving. Last week, if you were with us, we met Jesus with the powerful. But this morning, we meet Jesus with the skeptics. The skeptics. Those who doubt. Those who have questions. Those who are fearful. Those who have reservations. Those that aren't easily convinced. Are the claims about Jesus truthful? Is the evidence about Jesus transparent? Well, you be the judge. Friends, Jesus is dead. So dead that he was buried. And his disciples who watched him die, who saw him crucified, who witnessed his hands and feet being nailed to a Roman cross, spectators of the spear that was plunged into his side, hearers of the announcement of his death, so dead that he was buried, are now gathered behind closed doors in fear for their own lives. John, who wrote what you now hold in your hands, his gospel, hides with the others behind closed doors. No one was getting into that room, and no one was getting out of it either. The ones that Jesus came to set free, those who were with him and who watched him, who saw others set free from sickness, death, and disease, are now being held prisoner by their own fears, hiding away from the world behind lock and key. What the Jewish leaders did to Jesus, they feared could very well happen to them. But it's into the depths of their fears, into the haze of their doubts and confusion, that Jesus now comes and speaks with them. See it with me, won't you? Chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Peace be with you. Not pick yourself up. Not get yourself together. Not make up your mind. Not harden up, you cowards. Peace. Risen Lord Jesus stands in a locked room, and into lives lived and filled with doubt and fear, he speaks peace. Into a place where no one else could enter. A place that kept the world locked outside. A place that was under siege. A place of control in moments of chaos. Jesus enters and speaks to them, and he speaks into their paralysis. He speaks peace into their fears. He speaks peace into their anxiety. And when they see his hands and side, their fear quickly turns to joy. Jesus offers peace. His scars easily identify him. The risen Lord Jesus has conquered death. His resurrection now brings us peace. Which means we don't have to doubt or be afraid anymore. Maybe you're afraid of the world. Maybe you've got some doubts as well. Maybe you see church as a refuge from the world. Jesus says it's a refuge for the world. Maybe you're afraid of what others might think of you, fearful of what they might be saying about you. If they crucified the Son of God, what might they do to his followers? All that overwhelming fear and constant anxiety, it's exhausting, isn't it? Aren't you exhausted from being afraid? Friends, meet Jesus. Here he's offer again. Verse 19, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus is alive and his disciples have seen him, and he offers us peace. Because of his resurrection, fear now gives way to joy. And so Jesus now speaks to them again. Look there, won't you? Verse 21. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." The disciples are messengers of peace, ministers of the new covenant, bringing peace to a broken world in need of restoration. Jesus came to offer peace and forgiveness from heaven And so he sends his disciples into the world in order to make peace. Sent to tell the world that our sins can now be forgiven, that we can have peace with God. As the Father sent Jesus into the world, so now Jesus sends his disciples out into the world. He brings peace so that we can have the peace of God. He gives peace so that we can offer his peace to others. It is in the name of the Prince of Peace that we are sent out as his disciples to offer peace to the world. But the first person that his disciples tell, the first person they speak to, isn't convinced. They've received the Holy Spirit. They've been commissioned for mission, sent out with a ministry of peace. But Thomas says, nah. Listen to his protest, verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. So deeply skeptical is Thomas that he's even cynical of the claims of his friends. I don't believe you. I want evidence. Give me proof. His Greek name Didymus means twin or double, and Didymus now wants to take a second look. Show me his holy hands and then I'll believe it. You say you've seen the Lord. I tell you, says Thomas, I watched him die. Thomas knew that Jesus was dead, so dead that he was buried. He saw his death with his own eyes. He experienced grief and loss for himself. And so any claims now to the contrary would require some hard, physical, tangible evidence. Let my fingers drive through his hands like the nails drove through his hand, says Thomas. I want my fist to go through his side just like the spear went through him. Show me, then I'll believe. Truth and transparency, not smoke and mirrors. But Thomas wasn't with them in the room earlier. He didn't see Jesus appear to the others, trying to make sense of everything. He was getting on with his own life. But Jesus doesn't give up on us when we doubt, friends. He's determined to pursue Thomas. Even though he's doubtful, skeptical, and cynical, Jesus has not given up on Thomas. Look there, verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hand? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. You want proof, Thomas? You want proof? You can handle the proof. You can even handle the truth. Put your finger here. Put your hands there. Put your faith in me. Thomas, stop doubting. I bring you peace. Truth and transparency is seen in the risen Lord Jesus. Into our doubts and our skepticism, Jesus speaks peace. He's not afraid of our questions. He appeared with all of the answers. He's not turned away by our reservations. He rose from the grave. He's not given up on you, even if you've started to give up on him. Have you got questions? Are you still unsure about Jesus? Do you have doubts? Are you skeptical? You've probably got some very good reasons for them. But we are so glad that you're here. Because Jesus hasn't given up on you. He hasn't given up on me yet. We can know the truth about Jesus. We can have peace and certainty. Because the truth was raised from the dead and appeared to his disciples. Jesus' claims to truth are transparent. So clear, friend, that you can even put your finger through it. Thomas is confronted by all the evidence. Verse 28, see it with me. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." From overjoy to overwhelming evidence, Jesus speaks peace to those who doubt and fear. "You believe because you see," he says to Thomas. "Here's the evidence that you insisted upon. But blessed are those who believe but don't see." And that's where we fit in, isn't it? We don't get to see like Thomas did. You might say, "I'll believe when I see it for myself." But I want to say to you that all the evidence has already been presented. The scientific evidence is placed before us. The jury got to handle all the evidence. Now the evidence provided for us is by witnesses, eyewitnesses, who saw him and touched him for themselves. John even says it this way in his first letter, John chapter 1, verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us." Here is the presented evidence. Here is the evidence that's provided. It's not scientific evidence. It's not empirical evidence. It is testimonial evidence. The evidence is from eyewitnesses. And how much more evidence do you need? Look there, verse 30. "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Thomas believed because he saw it. You're blessed when you believe the testimony. John writes so that you might believe in Jesus, so that you can have life in his name. You've seen the evidence. You've heard Jesus' words. Jesus says, "Stop doubting and believe. You be the judge." But Thomas, who thought he was in control, who thought he had all the answers, now surrenders control of his life to the one who surrendered his life for him. By his resurrection, Jesus is in control. In our world of chaos, Jesus is the risen Lord. Over sin and death, Jesus gives forgiveness and life. And into our doubts and fears, Jesus now speaks peace. But only to those who receive him. Only to those who believe in his name. "My Lord and my God" is the expression of total surrender. Surrendering control of your life to Jesus. Thomas surrendered all control to Jesus. Are you in a position to do that today? You see, the issue isn't that it's hard to believe. It's not like faith is elusive to us. Not like faith is experiential and hard to attain. Everyone believes. We all believe in something. It's just that we often believe in the wrong things. We believe that we can find peace on our own. We believe that we can provide a life for ourselves. Functionally, we believe that we don't need Jesus, that we can make our life work without him. And so we live in the belief that we're self-sufficient. We live in the knowledge that we're in control. But friends, we are not in control. We are constantly fearful, afraid of the big bad world and its influences. Fear of losing what we've worked for, fear of our reputations being questioned, fear of others seeing our faults, fear of others being rejected by other people, fear of the cracks starting to appear. Quick, lock all the doors. Nail everything down. No one gets in and no one gets out. We have no peace. We're afraid of what might happen. We hide away from the world, hiding in fear of what they will do or say or think. We hide away from the world. But Jesus sends his disciples out into the world. He comes to speak peace into our fears. The risen Lord Jesus says, "It's all under control." and he invites you to lose control of your life to him. My Lord and my God. When we surrender our lives to Jesus, fear gives way to joy because of peace. Listen, you've heard all the evidence. You be the judge. Stop doubting and believe. Friends, meet Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we are governed by fear. Fearful of what might happen, fearful of what could be, fearful of tomorrow and all of its anxieties and all of its worries. Fear not only shapes us, but it determines our steps and the things that we may or may not do. And yet into our fear, the risen Lord Jesus speaks peace, restoration, fullness, life, peace. Lord Jesus, would you fill us with your peace this morning? Peace in the knowledge that you are in control of all things, particularly when life feels so out of control and uncertain and unclear. When we have more questions than we have answers, would you speak peace into our hearts, knowing that you are the one who is in control, who's gone before us, who's risen from and defeated death, and that you now speak peace. So calm our anxious hearts about tomorrow, about today, about the week ahead. And help us instead to walk in surrender to you. Would you help us this morning to see the risen Lord Jesus and to say, my Lord and my God, and to hear the words, stop doubting and believe. What a difference that would make to the way that we live. What a difference that would make to the way that we treat each other. What a witness that would be to the world. Would you help us to be these people? Not just for our own sake, but for the sake of our family and our friends and our community, so that they too might meet Jesus, because we have met him and we believe in him. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.